The Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get the chewables that give you the confidence you need and the performance you both want when it's time to have fun. BlueChew.com, promo code unhinged.
Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wildo, and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago, look under Wildo and Sylvie, or Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
What the fuck is up? We're back for Crosstalk Unhinged, and the boys are back in town after hitting the bourbon trail.
We are back.
Any nonsense?
We hit Woodford Reserve. We didn't really hit the trail.
Well, it's on the trail.
Well, it's on the trail, but I mean, you go to one place, you're not on a trail, you're at a spot, right? So we went to one spot. We went to Woodford Reserve.
Semantics.
We weren't on the trail. We were just at a spot.
How was the spot? Did you hit the spot?
It was great, dude. It was unbelievable. And, you know, we get that Elizabeth. What's Elizabeth's last name?
McCall.
Elizabeth McCall. And she does the tour for us. And she's the master distiller. She knows everything. And
she runs the distillery.
She runs the distillery. It's an absolute treat. I mean, she doesn't do this every day.
No.
But for us, she does it. And we've had it 2 years in a row where she's been kind of a part of it, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah. Can't beat it. Yeah.
What's your favorite part of visiting a place like that?
The drinking of when they drill into a barrel and put it in a beaker, and then we just kind of share it amongst ourselves. That's something that I've never experienced except that Woodford Reserve. So it's been kind of special going down there.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the most fun. Like, if you're any sort of like nostalgic or history buff or anything like that, going to those distilleries is pretty cool because they, you know, like they start the tour telling you that the first still on that property was operational in 1812. I mean, think about that. Like, they've been making whiskey on that site, not continuously, because it was mostly a farm out of Prohibition. They weren't making whiskey there, but like,
they moved to Louisville for a little while before coming back
in some form since going back to the early 1800s. There have been people making whiskey on that property, you know, and they show you where the spring is and why the original family, why the Pepper family settled there to be on top of the spring and the aquifer, the limestone aquifer, to make their whiskey. Like, so if you've got any, and some, the warehouse buildings they're over 150 years old. They've been standing there, you know.
What's the oldest barrel they have in there?
The oldest barrel? That's a good question. Probably I'd say somewhere upwards of 15 to 18 years, give or take. Yeah. You know, it's not like scotch. You could let scotch age for 40 years. You can't do that with bourbon.
At some point, bourbon's got to hit a bottle.
At some point, it's got to hit a bottle or a stainless steel drum so that it stops the process of taking on the wood. So it's not quite like Scotland where there's 30, 40-year-old barrels that are in there. My guess is at a place like Woodford, anywhere from 15 to 18. At that point, they need to either transfer them or they're using them because you're getting close to the point where it's going to be ruined. So
any good stories from the trip?
Any Danny and Schomburg events?
Yeah, no. Nothing like too crazy. The listeners, the crew that came with us was great. Absolutely fantastic. Nobody got too out of control wild.
Was Z-Pak maybe the most affected because of the way he was the next morning? I mean, he really had he was hungover the next morning.
Kevin doesn't drink a lot of hard liquor. He doesn't drink really bourbon. Yeah. So I think all the cocktails sort of started adding up. Yeah, he was on struggle bus a little bit early.
He talked to me at one point that night, and his language was like a Star Wars language. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I think this is starting to hit my guy just a little bit. And I sat next to him at dinner, and I mean, he loved his meal. I loved mine. Little Smokey, my guy, Jack.
Yeah, Little Jack.
I call him Little Smokey.
Jack McGrath.
After Big Smokey. But Little Smokey didn't want to order the steak. I go, listen, when it's on somebody else, dude, you find whatever the hell you want to eat and you eat it. He ordered a pizza.
What are you doing?
Yeah. What are you so shy about?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to talk about what anybody ate 2 weeks from now. Nobody's going to care. I go, order the steak, man. Medium rare and enjoy it. All right.
He had a pizza.
He was doing that to be conservative with the dollar.
Yes.
Not our dollar either. It was somebody else's dollar.
He's 23. He's Carmen, like, I can't order a $50
Carmen
steak.
Carmen had a piece of meat on there.
Oh, yeah. I had steak.
$79 piece of steak is what
$49.
It was.
$49.
No, it was $79. The one that was on the menu.
$49.
Carmen had the big meat.
Yeah, for
the big meat.
40, we had flat iron steak with risotto. It was $49.
I had the cacio e pepe.
Yeah, it looked good.
I was in the mood for pasta, man.
That's what I had. Like, so we ended up at karaoke. Yurko did not, but a big group of us did.
I used Uber for the first time in 8 years. Nice. Congratulations to me.
Wow.
First of all, this was fun. The best Uber driver I've ever had took us from one bar to the karaoke bar. And coincidentally enough, I've never seen this. The Uber driver had karaoke in his Uber.
His name
was Andre. He was the coolest Uber driver ever. So we sang karaoke on the way to karaoke. And then
it was Andre 2000.
Our friend,
not yet Andre 3000. It was Andre 2000.
I was telling Waddle. So our friends, Casey and Sarah from Brownform, and they're great. They're wonderful. When they found out Jack was 23, like they wanted him to come home with a back tattoo. They're like, oh, we're going to.
Our
objective is to ruin this child. Like, you know, it's like that's it. So we're singing karaoke. Jack's a little quiet. You know, he's young. He's a little quiet.
That's good, though. He knows his place. You know what I mean?
So they put the song in for him. They gave his name to the DJ. And, you know, this is one of the places where, like, the DJ's there. And now coming up to sing The Summer Wind is Carmen. What a douche. She's singing The Summer Wind. Yeah. So they call up Jack. And I told Waddle, so I don't know how they pick this, but they pick Losing My Religion by REM. That song is like 12 years older than Jack. He's like, what's REM and what's Losing My Religion? He didn't even know how the song went. So I had to get up on stage and help Jack sing Losing My Religion by REM. It was fantastic. We
trying
sang,
to keep an eye on you.
We sang karaoke for a couple hours. I when we got up Wednesday morning, I said, it's a good thing we don't have a show because I had zero voice yesterday between the booze and the singing. I'm belting out karaoke left and right. I had no voice yesterday.
I think I remember a 90210 episode where they used that as a montage song, Losing My Religion, one of the like breakup songs.
Oh, God, I can imagine. It's right in the wheelhouse of that show. So.
Yeah. Anyone get out of control?
Not really. No. I mean, everybody was not really. I mean, listen, we got after it. I'm not going to lie. We got after it Tuesday, but nobody did anything silly. Nobody got in trouble. We just had a great time. I mean,
and on Tuesday we drank literally from like the mid afternoon. What do we start at about 10 o'clock? We started drinking and consistently drinking. And you were drinking that whole time on a consistent basis. Even on the way back, we were drinking because you had that bottle of Sonoma.
Master's Collection.
Yeah. Well, you opened that yesterday on the way home. But even before that, we had a bottle of Double Oaked on the thing. Yeah. And now we're pouring some Double Oaked on the ride back to Louisville. And I had planned on going back to the room to get a little catnap. No catnap. I went down there with our friends from Ecuador, Jeff and Dennis, and we're sitting there and we're starting again. And then we had these coupons, which got us a shot of Angel's Envy. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a shot of Angel's Envy with another thing. And then it just kept going and going and going. So it's just continuous drinking for an extended period of time, which at some point just gets you to, you know what? I've had enough in my level of entertaining and being entertained is at its limit, and it's just time to go sometimes.
The only drop
was a good picture of Carm. I think you posted of the good kid. It said three Manhattans in or three bourbons in, and the good kid looked like he was catching a little catnap on the ride to Louisville.
Oh, on the bus ride down.
Oh, that one was easy. I knew I was going to sleep on that trip.
The best is
that's 5 hours, man. 5 hours down I-65 is not a pleasurable experience.
We cross into Northwest Indiana on the bus going down, and then like then Johnny comes to life with
is he tour guiding it?
Yes, he's like tour guiding around the steel mills. Well, and the I told marsh everybody and this and that.
Nobody knows where the east side is. Yeah, then when we got on the Skyway Bridge, I wanted to point out everything east of the shipping canal is now called the east side.
So he's telling everybody.
Nobody
about
knows
east
where
side.
The east side of Chicago is, but here it is. And the shipping canal goes up and it wraps around and dumps into Lake Michigan just north of 95th Street. So that is your carved out east side. That's kind of the shipping canal is what dictates
the life of the party over
people
here.
Don't know. They've never been down there because it's a rough little area. You know, a lot of pansies out there. They won't venture there by any stretch of the imagination. So I just wanted everybody to know there was an east side. And literally, after you're over the bridge, you can see the Horseshoe Casino. Yeah. Now you're in Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your little stretch of land. Then we had the Indiana side of Wolf Lake and the Illinois side of Wolf Lake. My buddy Jimmy Saxa holds the record Northern Pike caught out of the Indiana side. Legendary catch. So as we were going on, I showed where some of the people are buried in the swamps.
Yeah. Oh, that's the other swamps. We get into the swamp land and he goes, now, and he starts pointing. He's perfect like, this is area. Where you're going to find a bunch of the old outfit bosses buried.
Yeah, buried. A lot of swampy areas.
That's great.
A lot of concrete construction in these areas. You know what I'm saying?
You know, like Johnny Tour Guide. Yeah. Johnny Tour Guide, like for that 15 minutes, fun.
And by the time we got to Route 30, which was 10 minutes from my house, right? On the way back, I looked. I go, geez, if I could just dropped off here, I'd be home in 10 minutes. Instead, I had another hour drive and an hour and a half drive back. And then I finally got back to my house. How wonderful is that? But it's fun. It's fun.
The Crosstalk Unhinged podcast is brought to you by BlueChew.com. Get the chewables that give you the confidence you need and the performance you both want when it's time to have fun. BlueChew.com, promo code unhinged.
When you drive through like Tennessee and you see all those ads for like these
Tennessee, we never made it to Tennessee.
No, he's asking Waddle.
I'm saying when you drive, Waddle and I have driven like through that area, like through the Chattanooga area. When I was a kid, we would drive to Florida. Or like if you're in the Wisconsin Dells and you see all those ads for the Tommy Bartlett show, they need to set up like a Johnny the Good Kid tour of the upper of the east side
of
Chicago, and he could give like a little tour of that whole area.
10th Ward, by the way,
like a Peterman reality tour.
Yeah, that's fine. Seriously. I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, he was very proud of the east side.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
oh, I had grown up in Vets Park, so I was on the other side of the shipping canal, but I am very proud of the east side because of the luminary basketball career I had at Calumet Park, Cal Park. Excellent. Out there.
I like and the it. Pete Vrdoljak.
And Underleague.
The Pete Vrdoljak and Underleague, yeah.
Oh, by the way,
listen,
guys, Pete Vrdoljak, speaking of him, on the 14th, which I believe was Tuesday.
It was Tuesday.
He played in a U.S. Senior Open qualifier at Flossmoor Country Club, Tommy. Your guy's over there, right?
George.
Shot 2-under par 70 to tie for first. Wow. He is now going to Rhode Island at the end of June to play in the U.S. Senior Open.
That's awesome.
He qualified for the U.S. Senior Open. Yeah, so he's got at least two rounds.
That's awesome.
I talked to him the other day. He says, yeah, just the dream is just to make the cut, to play four rounds. And I said, hey. I go, you're at the dance.
I mean, he'll literally be playing with, like,
yes.
Like Jim Furyk could play in that tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Furyk, Steve Stricker, VJ, all the old guys. Yeah. All the old guys that are out there. Like, absolutely.
He's going to play in that
Bernard tournament. Longer.
Yes.
Yeah. So, good for him.
It's incredible.
I mean, I played with him last year. He shot 74 with five birdies. Jeez. So, you know, certainly he's capable. He's one hell of a golfer. And he qualified.
What's that?
Tiger could be on that tour soon.
Tiger's eligible, I think, next year.
No, right? A couple years, I think.
Is it a couple years? Because
what 50. Is it? You got to be 50.
50. Yeah.
Okay. 50. So like 2 years, I guess, right? Yeah. Because Tiger's a year older than me. I'm 47. So, like, in 2 years, Tiger's eligible.
Do you think it's a really good question? Do you think that he'll do that?
He could ride a cart, by the way, which is one reason that, yes, he might exactly do that.
If he does it, He's going to set every record and win every fucking.
Not necessarily. You still got to work hard at it.
I know.
You know, there's guys that are worked hard that are more successful on the senior tour than they were on the regular tour.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, there's no guarantee Tiger gets there and he starts just blowing everybody out of the water. Especially in his physical condition.
But if he decides that he really wants to go at it and bury everybody, I'd feel pretty confident that he could do it.
He would set records with the ratings.
Yeah.
Like people would watch it.
For senior tour golf, for sure.
Yeah, those courses are what, Johnny? What are they? Probably 300 yards shorter.
They're playing a tournament this weekend, Tommy, up in St. Joseph, Benton Harbor, Michigan. So they're right here around the lake, the senior tour is, the champions tour, whatever they want to call it. I think they set that course at about 6,900 to 7,000 yards.
Okay. So
now, I don't know that for fact right now. I haven't seen the scorecard. But, this weekend is when they're getting it done up there, I believe. So,
did you guys check out the Bears schedule?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not in front of me. The only thing that nothing about the schedule bothers me. Fine. The schedule came out. Whoever they got to play, they got to play. There's 17 of them. I don't like the three-game road trip in the middle. That's what I don't like. Three-game road trips
are tough.
Well, I've got to do a statistical analysis of it and take a look at it.
They have a three-game homestand. I know
that. Yeah, it follows the three-game homestand.
Two-three-game homestands, with the one of them being the London game.
Well,
so there's two-three-game homestands, but the one is the London game that they've got to go over to Europe, so it's not really a home game.
Right.
But I've played three games on the road in Jacksonville because they had a circus come to town. It was our circus trip, and the largest cocktail party in the world would come there. And so we'd have to go on the road for that. So we'd always have a three-game road trip in the year. It's not fun.
No, it's tough.
Invariably, no matter how good we were, it was usually 1-2. And when we were real good, maybe it was 2-1.
They said the Bears' schedule works out to be the easiest through the first, 11 weeks of any of the schedules for anybody so far.
Well, I know that
going
off the Vegas win totals, you know, they have one of the easier schedules in the NFL. I think it's
third easiest going off the
win totals.
Do you think the 8.5 is a good number? You think it's a little low?
I think it's a little low, but it's very, there's a lot of juice on the over.
It's juiced up, brother.
I mean, it's like north of $1.50, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think they win 9 games. If not, I think something bad happened, to be honest. I think this is like it kind of starts at 9. I could see them getting to 10. 11 might be a little optimistic. There's a few games. And I heard you guys, when I was driving home yesterday, I heard you guys going game by game. One game that you guys all gave a win to, I'm like, I don't know that it'll be so easy.
Which one?
There are games that are going to pop up. And we could get to the end of it and be like, yeah, maybe we thought that was easy and it wasn't. Like, I don't think the Washington game is going to be that easy for them. I don't. No. Like, I know Caleb's going back home. And that, if anything, is a little added pressure that he might not need. But that's a really good defensive coach. The offensive coordinator is going to be prepared to help that team beat the Bears because he knows Caleb very well from having spent this last year from him. Like, that's – I don't know if Jaden's any kind of good. Like, I don't think that's an easy game. The Bears are a 1.5 favorite in that game. Yeah. But like, if you told me the Bears get beat in Washington, I wouldn't be shocked. Like,
I'll be honest with you. I don't really care about, you know, which game they may or may not. They're going to be 11-6. I don't care which 11 they win, but they're going to win 11.
Yeah, that's true.
They will disappoint on certain levels and they will surprise the living hell out of you on certain levels.
I agree.
So whichever ones they win or lose along the way,
I agree with that.
Is fine. But I've got them winning 11 games. That's what this feels like this year. 11 games. They will piss you off, especially early when the schedule is soft.
Yeah.
And then they're going to surprise the living hell out of you, win a game later in the year that you think they had no chance in hell winning that game.
I think the game in Indianapolis, I think Sylvia and I both picked them to lose the game.
Yeah.
To the Colts.
Yep.
I have them winning the Colts game and losing the Rams game. But the way I look at it is you got to go 1-1 in that little stretch of those two games. Win one of them. Like, and again, Carm, like I see what you're saying. They may lose the Commanders game, but then find a way to win one of those other games that we think they may lose. Like find a way to beat San Francisco on the road. Find a way to sweep Detroit instead of splitting with Detroit, you know, or something in there. I'm with Dirk. I've got them winning 10 or 11. Going through the schedule, I had them winning 11. And I think that they're a really good team. I felt they should have been better last year. And now that they have Montez Sweat for a full year, now that they're loaded with their skill guys, you know, they still have holes, but so does every other team in the NFL.
If health is on their side, yeah, this should be a 10 or 11.
And your quarterback still has to establish himself as an NFL quarterback.
True. Yeah.
Whatever he did in college doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's got to do it at this level. So hopefully he answers those questions early.
What the fuck is the off-season Hard Knocks thing with the Giants? And is any
something they're doing now through OTAs and the rest of the thing until they get to training camp?
They're trying to wring out every last drop, aren't they? Yep. I don't blame them. Don't get me wrong, but they're trying to wring out every last drop. And that's not a team that would draw much interest, is it? The Giants?
I think there's still a thirst, though. It is the New York Giants.
It's New York,
and it's 50 million people in that area. So, I mean, that's why they do it, obviously.
You have drama with Daniel Jones. I'm sure they're going to take you behind the scenes of what went into the decision to not draft a quarterback and to why they kept Daniel Jones. The Malik Nabers stuff behind the scenes with him. You already have drama about him making a bet with his, you know, former college teammate for the Rookie of the Year. And now that bet's off. Like, all those little things.
Well, that was a short-lived drama.
I know.
But they do squeeze it. They want to squeeze every last drop out of it.
That's because there's a thirst for NFL action.
There is. And I still think the Bears are.
And there's a dearth of NFL action from May, in essence, until July, until they go to camp.
Everybody thought that, like, oh, the Bears dodged it again. No, there's going to be a Hard Knocks training camp. And it's going to be the Bears. I mean, it is.
I think so. And what are we watching sports-wise in July? You know, it's the dog days of baseball.
Yeah.
The NBA is over. So, like, when I don't like Hard Knocks is when actual football's going on. I never watch in season. I watched the first episode of the Dolphins in season, and I actually thought it was good, but I never circled back to it because I had regular football on television all week. So I'm like, why do I need to go back to, like, football programming when there's not football on? I'm at my football limit, believe it or not. But, like,
yeah.
In July now, there's nothing going on with football, so I could use some of it.
Well, that's true. Football-wise, I think we'll be a little bit better. Sports fans will be a little bit better served this summer because isn't this Euro this summer, York? And then the Olympics, right? Is Euro this summer?
I think Euro is this summer. Well, no, not is. Absolutely, it is. Starts June 14th.
Right, yeah. European Championships this summer.
July 14th.
And then the Olympics. So at least we'll have a few other things. I mean, not that it's football. And so I get it. You can get your football fixed.
It is football.
Football, yeah. But this summer will be better than most because we don't just have to watch the dog days of baseball in July and into August.
There'll be a major international soccer tournament.
Two major international sporting events.
Yeah. By the way, they just gave the NBA the double fucking bird, didn't they? Christmas Day, we're going to own it. We're going to own it.
100%.
Yeah.
And so that's going forward, right? That's a 3-year deal with Netflix?
3-year deal, Carm.
So they just basically said to the NFL, go fuck yourself, or the NBA, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said like this, I was telling Yurko the other day, it's like the kids in the hall. Remember, I crush your head. That's Nell's just looking at Adam Silver's goofy head. Like, their offices are probably like a few miles apart in Midtown. And he's just like, I crush your head. I crush you. I crush your head.
I haven't seen the amount of money come down the pipeline. Where is that? That's newfound money.
Think about it. It was like, wasn't the game that was it? I don't know. Was it Apple? They paid $100 million for that one game.
No, that's I haven't seen
it. Apple last year? It was $100 million.
Amazon, Apple, Peacock
paid $125 for the playoff.
This is what, $150 per?
I think $150 per game.
Oh, yeah, that's what I think. I think they said it was about $150 per game.
So it's $450 million over the next 3 years.
Even more than that, because there's
that's per year.
What is it?
That might be.
Oh, it's per year, not per game.
That might be per year.
No. It's 150 million per game. There's three games.
So it's 900 million is what you're telling me they paid for six games.
For six games.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Because it's a 3-year deal. Yeah, I think you're right.
Tommy, you and I might get a little bump in the old retirement package, my friend.
I doubt it, but I hope so.
No, I don't. I don't, because in the last version of it in 2020, they had put an escalator in there that they would increase it if profits were good. Yeah. With these newfound monies from all these Amazon Prime, that's got to kick that little thing in. And before they negotiate the 2030 CBA, you know they've got to come back and look at the guys that were in our area, and they got to kick it up a notch also, which would be a nice thing. You know?
Which is great, which is fabulous, but it still pales in comparison to fucking
the Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And meantime, the NFL Network just went through a bunch of layoffs.
Yes. And moved. Good morning.
Well, that's because you got to be productive, guys. If you're not productive and you're not making the money as an individual entity, which looks like the NFL Network is not, a lot of costs have gone into it. I mean, a lot of monies have poured into it, and it hasn't produced the money they thought it was going to produce. And when that happens, you just can't keep a failing business just for the sake of keeping it. You've got to find a way to make it productive. Period. Yeah. So if you lose your job, so sad, too bad, bye-bye.
I got to tell you, though, Johnny,
over here,
knowing that crew a little bit, they do football well, but I'm not so sure they do a lot of other stuff well. So there are some people that are taking it in the seat that probably not their fault. That's why they're moving the show, the morning show, back to L.A. because it's cheap.
It doesn't have to be anybody's fault. I'm not looking to lay blame in one place or lay blame in another place. It's just the way it is.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Are you guys, are you worried about the cicadas?
No. No.
Are you worried about them?
I'm worried they're going to be pissing in my face, like Tommy said.
What? Well, you want to what? You said cicadas, right?
Yeah. Didn't you have this story? I thought you were the one who said it, or was it Sylvie? Said they piss
out of their heads.
Story.
They don't pee on your heads, Carm. They pee out of their heads.
Oh, I thought you said they piss on your face when they go flying by you. Oh, they pee out of your head.
Or their tennis rackets out of the mothballs. I was worried.
I'm like, they piss on your head.
Every time I go outside, I will have a tennis racket in my hand, ping-ponging them off into the neighbor's land.
These little fuckers. I'm already mad at them. They're not even here.
They're not even here
yet. Are you covering your trees like your what do you call them? Your saplings?
Saplings.
You cover your saplings?
You've been infatuated with this.
I just ordered the nets, Sylvie. They're coming this weekend. I got to cover my saplings.
How many saplings do you have?
He's digging up Drazen Petrovic. Some of the old nets are coming back.
Oh, shit.
What a reference.
Yeah.
I'm here for
awesome.
You.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah. He's
These
bringing
fucking
out the
cicadas.
Nets.
I'm like with bated breath over here. I'm like, when is it? Fuck. When are they going to come?
Well, when do they come out?
I think in the next like 10 days, they're saying, right?
Yeah, any day.
Yerk
Waddle thought he was hearing them the other day, though. Yeah. I don't think he was hearing them the other day.
I was not. That was my wife. I was like, hey, listen to those crickets. She goes, those aren't crickets. Those are cicadas. I go, I don't think they're supposed to be out yet. She
different goes, cadence. Like, different cadence, by the way. You hear crickets and you hear the cicadas. It's going to be a totally different cadence.
We're not the smartest family in the neighborhood over here.
Don't underestimate yourself. You know, I was just in your homeland down in Kentucky. There's a lot of smart people down there.
Listen, I will tell this to anybody. Kentucky gets a bad rap for a number of reasons. It's beautiful. There. Yes, it's a beautiful part of the country.
Yes, it is.
We're in horse country too, man. There are a handful of Kentucky Derby winners just right, laying the down there in the fields. Yeah.
The farm next door is where Justify and American Pharoah came
really?
From. The farm next to Woodford. Yeah. Yeah. There's like the best thoroughbreds in the world. There's a lot of them are all in the area right around where Woodford is.
Our buddy Sheikh Mahmoud El Maktoum has got Go Dolphin out there too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Their farm is near there too. So, and then the Diamond, was it the Diamond Farm?
Farms,
there's a big breeding facility down there.
When you drive through the back road, like to get there, you can't even believe it. Like just it's farm after farm and they're huge, huge sprawling pieces of land.
And it's Kentucky bluegrass.
All bluegrass. Yeah. You see a lot of horses with like their little foals out there. It's really cool. It's something
beautiful.
To see. It's beautiful. It is gorgeous. Gorgeous part of the country. All right. What are we hard for, boys? Brought to you by Blue Chew.
I'm a PGA Championship, guys. This is easy for me.
It's what I was
PGA Championship started this morning. You give me more golf, any golf, all golf, all the time. I got Rory and Scheffler against the field. Carmen took the field for sandwiches next week.
Yeah.
I offered him where he gets the two and I get the field, and he goes, you're setting me up. And so you went the opposite direction. I said, I'll take it. I go, if you want to reverse it today, you could reverse it. I'm not looking to set anybody up. I'm just looking to get somebody to pay for sandwiches.
Yeah.
Whether it's me or Carmen, I don't care.
Well, you obviously like Scheffler, but Rory, a little more focused now after the divorce.
Maybe.
Well, he comes in hot. Some guys find their joy on the golf course. When it's not at home, you got to find it in the golf course.
Scheffler's like prime Tiger territory here. He's like 3-1 to win a major. That's insane to win a major. It's just that's how good he is right now. It's crazy.
I saw a video going around with Scotty Scheffler playing some pickup basketball. Have you seen that?
No, I don't think so. Maybe.
He's not the most athletic looking guy, I don't think.
It's the opposite. He's great.
Is he? I heard he was a good basketball player.
He looked good. He looked good. I saw it.
He could shoot it, and he could pass it.
He could handle. He could handle also.
Really, really good.
He's got boobies like us, though, doesn't he?
Probably.
Like maybe he looks that way with the tight-fitting golf shirt, but on the basketball court, he just fit in really well.
These guys are all good athletes.
Yeah, right. A couple of things for me. Paul Skeens is back against the Cubs this time at Wrigley. How will he do the second time around? Will the Cubs adjust? He's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
I want to see how this Knicks Pacers series goes in game six. Like double blowouts here, where it looked like the Pacers were going to take control, then the Knicks bounce back. Will the Pacers counterpunch here in game six? And then will there be a game seven?
I hope so.
In the Garden, where the Garden will be just going crazy. So that's been a fun series for me.
It's been great.
I love watching the Knicks play.
Yeah.
I do too. What are you hard for, Tommy?
I said the same thing. PGA Championship.
PGA.
I'm always in for a good major golf event.
I'll be hard for a game seven for sure. I kind of hope that happens. And I think it will. I think this thing's going back to the Garden for the weekend. I think that'll be great. I do, yeah. I think Indiana's going to win. I called the Knicks win the other night. I think Indiana wins tonight. I think it goes back for a game seven.
Pacers just looked clueless in the last game, too. Like, just didn't look like they knew what the fuck they were doing.
Back home, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, so how about this new copy from Blue Chew? They're not messing around. Unleash the beast within your pants with Blue Chew. Holy cow.
Unleash the beast.
The ultimate sidekick to your sex life. Yeah. Unleash that beast.
Unleash the beast.
Fuck me, right?
Unleash the beast in your pants?
Unleash the beast within your pants.
Some have a beast like a dragon, and the others have beasts like a cicada.
We have
Your beast is, unleash it and let it ride.
We have.
What do they say? It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog, boys.
Usually, exactly. That's what they usually say.
Special deal for our fans. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code Unhinged at checkout. It's just $5 for the shipping. That's it. BlueChew.com, promo code Unhinged.
Yeah.
Get a month's supply free and unleash that beast.
And this was a rated PG version of Unhinged today.
A little bit.
PG version.
We'll get raunchy next week. Remember, keep your mind sharp and your cock hard. And Blue Chew can help with that. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. And why don't you go fuck yourself, Tom?